live now. All right. Hey, everybody, what's going on? We're here. It's Thursday night, and I'm here with Hookers and Blow, Alex and Nadja. Before we talk to them, though, I just going to tell everybody real quick, our good friends over at Bombers and Sleeves are our official sponsors, and they are the lifestyle apparel brand, and they're dedicated to bringing you the war on self-doubt. This is for the bold, the fearless, and the authentic souls who never back down. They wear it all on their sleeves. Bomb your boundaries today. Shop bombersandsleeves.com. So, here they are, the one and only Mr. Alex Grassi and Nadja Reed from Hookers and Blow. What's up, guys?
What's up, babe? Thanks for having us, man.
I'm great. How are you guys? You know, me and Alex were talking a little bit beforehand, but now we get to have the real conversation. And something, you know, when I start doing these, I get to go back and do all this research and all. And something I saw, I was just like, all right, I want to know the story behind this. How'd you get Charlie Sheen to do the little, I mean, because he truly is an inspiration for Hookers and Blow, but how'd you get him to do the video for the Best Wishes for you guys?
Well, Charlie Sheen, that was done, our agent slash kind of pseudo manager as a favor called Cameo. Because he has, he had been to me on Cameo, and he found out they had Charlie Sheen. He goes, look, I need a favor. We don't want to have the Cameo logo on there or anything. And as a favor, back and forth, because Vince Neil was also on there, he said, he goes, well, send me what you want him to say, and if he's into it, he'll do it. He typed that text out, and Charlie, it was cute. When he says Hookers and Blow, it's the most genuine thing I've ever seen a human say. You know, so much like, I mean, yeah, he loved it. He wouldn't do it if he didn't, you know, think it was funny. But yeah, he totally got it. And it was kind of, we called in a favor for it. But we definitely got a lot of traction out of it. I mean, it's got like almost 2.5 million views on YouTube somehow. So if you Google Charlie Sheen and Blow, we come up. So we did something right.
Oh, that's great. So I mean, here's something too that was kind of hard to believe when I was looking at this. It's almost 20 years that Hookers and Blow have been a band. Like, does that kind of shock you? Like, do you wonder, like, where the hell's the time going?
It is pretty shocking. We've been through a lot of incarnations, and we've lasted longer than most real bands that have gotten real shots and real record deals and whatnot. It is kind of surreal if you think about it. You know, I was texting with Disney the other night, and I said, you know, we were talking about something that happened 10 years ago, and we both said, man, we've been through a lot, and it ain't over, you know, so it's all just beginning. I mean, Nadja's been part of it indirectly since, what, almost 15 years now, right? Nadj? Hello. Yeah, I mean, we've had so many incarnations, but I think it's evolved into something a lot more viable, as my mother would say. But hi. No, it definitely is impressive if you think about it. So
go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, I was going to say, Nadja, we were talking about how we've almost been together for 20 years. And I was saying, well, you've been in the fold almost like 15. I mean, when did you and Dizzy meet at my horrible legendary apartment? Nadja. Hello?
So, Alex, you're admitting then it's you were the one responsible for getting Dizzy and Nadja together.
No, they just happened to meet. They just happened to meet at a party that I was having through mutual friends, and we'd already started doing Hookers and Blow before that. And it just sort of over the years morphed into what it is now. I mean, I think. Can you hear us? Hello.
I'm going to apologize right now. I can't hear one word that Alex is saying at all. Really? So I thought I'd grab some headphones, but yeah, I still can't hear. I can hear you.
Wow.
I can't, yeah, so it's hard to.
Nothing at all? Huh.
So I don't even know what the question is right now.
So what we were saying was, I was saying it's kind of hard to believe that Hookers and Blow has been together for close to 20 years, and he was saying how you've been involved in everything for about 15 years yourself now.
I guess, yeah, it probably has been about that long, man. Time really does fly.
Time flies.
Can you hear me now, Nadja? Can you hear me? No.
No.
What am I doing wrong here? Is it my microphone?
No, I don't know. That's weird.
Yeah, it's really bizarre. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Okay, so let me ask this question. Being the fact that you guys have been together for so long, why has it taken so long to actually record anything and release music?
Nadja, you want to
answer
this one?
That, Alex.
Okay, all right. Well, it took us a long time because it took us a long time to find the right combination of people to do it. Because we never really had a solid lineup with, you know, guys that were at a certain level musically. And when we got Johnny Kelly in the band, all of a sudden it sort of brought things more to a more professional level. And we tightened up a bit, and then we did a tour with the Dead Daisies. It was a real tour. Then we did our own real headline tour of the U.S. And, you know, after a while, we started feeling more of a real band. And a lot of people asked us, you know, would you ever consider it? And we were offered a deal by a label in Australia called Golden Robot Records. And they kind of got the concept. They kind of let us do what we want. And we're really, really happy we took the dive and did it, because it's not just your usual throwaway, you know, all-star band cover record that's done in a weekend. We've spent 2 years of our lives on this thing and poured our heart and souls into it. And I think people are going to be really impressed, and they're really going to dig it. So it just took long because it needed to happen organically. It was we didn't want to force anything, you know.
That's like I'm blown away. The fact that it's taken that long to record it.
No, it took 2 years to record it. It took 15.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, because we did it in a real studio with real drums, with real players. We didn't, you know, just Pro Tools everything together. We took our time with it, you know. I mean, we spent 2 months on one song, just making it really, you know. And we spent a lot more money than we were supposed to, but we wanted to make it great because when we're all dead and gone, that record's still going to be there. You know,
right?
That's what you leave that thumbprint behind, and also, you know, Dizzy's out with Guns N' Roses. I'm out with Quiet Riot. Johnny's out with his projects. It's hard to get all of us with time off at the same time. So, but now that we all have home studios, the next record will probably take a little less time.
So okay. So what you guys have been doing? Has it been about a song a month you've been releasing? Because there's been 5 singles already put out.
Yes.
So is that the plan? You're going to release up until the release?
No, we're now going to release the whole thing as a full length.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's the last single we put out actually is not just lead singing debut.
Yes.
It's the Time of the Season by the Zombies, and why don't you ask her about it?
So Nadja, we're talking about your lead vocal and debut on that Time of the Season. You want to tell us about it? And were you nervous? Did you feel any pressure?
I did not feel any pressure until the day it came out. I guess going through it all, it was easy. I didn't really think much about it. I'm not really, yeah. But yeah, the day it came out, I was like, oh shit. This is actually happening now. It was all words before.
It was kind of like a true wake up call for you.
Right, exactly. The first time ever my voice has gone out to so many people. Usually it's just my mom, you know, or someone.
I gotta tell you, and this is no BS either, and I'm surprised to admit it, because you know the original, you know, I like the original song, but your guys' version out of the 5 songs you put out so far has been my favorite. I thought Ziggy Stardust would have been, but time of the season has been my favorite one so far.
Oh, nice. Cool.
Oh, yeah.
a lot of people have said that because it's Dizzy really gets to stretch out of the keys and it's not their lead vocal and it's not your typical cover that you hear, like, you know, a bunch of rock dudes play, you know, shows some a lot of dimension of the band. So, and a lot of people have noted on that. So yeah, you're not the only one.
Do you think that's what, I mean, is that why you kind of chose that song to go a little different than, you know, like doing Zeppelin or Any Money Shaking or Ziggy Stardust?
Well, we actually played it live for a while. Dizzy played acoustic guitar on it, no keys at all. And when we were talking about the record, I said, you know, we should record that with keys and you should do the big keyboard solo. You are a keyboardist. And I play the acoustic. And that's what, I mean, he dug in and really, you know, fucking crushed it. So it's, you know, if you're making a record with a phenomenal keyboard player, you want to feature it, you know. It's just like, and what better song? I mean, that song's 4 minutes long, and I think 3 minutes of it is keyboard solos. You know?
Now, how about Any Money Shaking? Classic song. You guys get to rock it out a little.
That was always, well, we tried to put it in the set. It's a really, really hard song to cover. And I actually told him we were covering it. I told him, he knew about Hookers and Blow, and we used to joke about it. I invited him to sing with us one night at the Whiskey, and he said if he got caught with Hookers and Blow ever again, his wife would kill him, whatever. But Eddie's one of my personal favorite artists, and I'm glad we could get it out as a lead-off track. And it came out great. That's a hard, it's only three chords, but it's a hard song. And, you know, Nanda's background vocals on it are great. And I'm really proud of that one.
That's awesome. Now, how about Zeppelin's Trampled Underfoot, which your bandmate, former bandmate, the late, great Frankie Benali played drums on?
Yes. Yep. He did that. And he also did No Quarter by Led Zeppelin. And okay. the amazing thing about those tracks are he was diagnosed with his cancer April of 2019 and given 3 to 6 months to live. All right. At this point, when we went into the studio to record with Hookers and Blow, Quiet Riot was still out on the road with a different drummer. We had a fill-in drummer because Frankie couldn't travel, but he got well enough in between treatments. He was well enough in between treatments to get in the studio. So we booked it. Guns N' Roses had played the night before in LA, and Dizzy had basically went straight to the studio and they recorded it. And Frankie was down like 135 pounds with a feeding tube on a liquid diet in between chemo treatments and still played the way he played on that track in one or two takes. I mean, that's how strong that guy was. And I'm, you know, he really wanted to do it because he knew he'd have that window of time when he wasn't crushed by the chemo. And he was really, you know, really happy to do it for me. He loved me, loved Dizzy, loved the whole thing. He always played with us at the Whiskey when we did. So he said he wanted to make sure before he crossed over, he could be on a Hookers and Blow record, and we made it happen. So
that's awesome.
And I couldn't believe that he pulled it off. Like, I mean, I said, you know, you've been getting chemo, your hair's falling out. No, I'll be fine. And you know what? When he got behind the kit, it's like he wasn't sick at all. It all went away, and he told me that too. He said, he goes, I don't have cancer when I play. And then when I get up and sit down in the chair, I do. It's really weird.
He's always that statement right there.
Go ahead, Matt.
He's always been so supportive, you know, from the get-go. And yeah, I'm not surprised he played as amazing as he did. He's great.
That's awesome. That statement you said that he said is so powerful too. Like when he played, he didn't have cancer.
Yeah, as he said, he forgot all about it. I mean, even the last show we did, he had lost feeling in his fingers and toes. So he'd be playing and not feeling the stick hit the snare, but it was all muscle memory. And he, after the show, he was all, you know, up from the show, and then he went back down again. And he goes, for that 90 minutes, I was not sick. It's the weirdest, you know, because he just forgot about it. Music made him forget about it. Pretty powerful thing.
It is. Now, how was that his last recordings that he did?
I'm not sure if it's the last recordings we did. I know that's so far, that's all that's been released, but I know Quiet Riot's got some new stuff coming out with recordings of him as well that he left behind that, you know, we're slowly working with. So yeah, he left behind a lot of work because he, you know, he always said you're only as good as what you leave behind. And, you know, that, like we said earlier, we're going to be dead and gone, but this record's still going to be there for people to listen to. So let's make it great, you know?
Right. One Quiet Riot question I got to ask, though. Do you ever, like, kind of say to yourself, like, how the hell did I now become the keeper of the legacy that Kevin DeBrow and Randy Rhoads started 45 years ago?
It is kind of crazy how it all kind of, how the chips kind of fell into place. I mean, I remember seeing Quiet Riot in 2002 with Poison and Warrant, the original band. And then next thing you know, in 2004, I'm in Quiet Riot out in L.A. I mean, it happened pretty fast. But no, I mean, this kind of music's in my blood. It's what I do. You know, I'm not about to go out and play guitar for Taylor Swift. If, you know, I'm not one of those guys that can just jump around from gig to gig. I'm what I am, and what I am is big dumb rock, and that's what I do, and that's what it works, you know. And we're basically a family now. You know, it's like Frankie's wife took over the business because Frankie managed the band, and you know, we're all it's a big family now. You know, and I don't, you know, he had it set in a way where it was such a tight ship that I've applied a lot of what he taught me with Quiet Riot to other bands that I work with, and it works. And so, you know, it's not just keeping on the legacy with Quiet Riot, but every time I go out and do a project, I think, what would he do? Because he usually made the right decision, and it's come in handy a lot. So, yeah, but I don't know how I got here. Don't ask. Don't ask.
So
it's been a long, crazy story.
Back to the Hookers and Blow album. When's it actually coming out? In May, you were saying?
Nadja? Is it May, the record coming out? She can't hear me.
Yeah, I found you now. I've got your voice.
Okay, you got me.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, finally, I worked it out. So it was supposed to be the end of May, but we had a little hold up in a couple of areas. So now, we're going to choose a new release date, but as soon as possible, it's all done.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I mean, it's basically done. We just got to submit all the, you know, get everything, and then they got to fit it in. I would guess middle of the summer, if I were to guess.
Okay. Well, now,
if things come, you wait.
This is true.
Yes.
Now, how about, is there any originals ever going to be on any Hookers and Blows albums, music, or is it just going to be strictly covers and that's going to be the basis of it?
I don't know, Naj. I mean, we've toyed with a couple originals, but Dizzy also has two solo records, one that I played on and another one that you know, one that came out in 2018 that's got a bunch of killer players on it. And he's working on another one right now. So that's kind of where the original energy goes. Hookers and Blow, I don't know what we would write songs about. I mean, we have a couple things that we've worked on, but I think they would only translate to us. You know, there's inside jokes that people hear that we all think are funny, then you show the world and they're like, you guys are crazy. What does this mean? You know? So, but you know what? Never say never. We said we'd never record a record, and here we are, so who knows?
You know? True.
Yeah, is it kind of shocking that you're actually doing this or have done this and it's in the process of being released?
Is it what?
Is it shocking to you that you guys have actually recorded this and it's about to be released?
Nadja, what do you think? I think a little bit, yeah. A little surreal.
Yeah, I say yes. At the start, it was kind of, fuck it, we might as well. But then we started really, really, really liking it. And now we really love it and we're really proud of it. So, yeah it's kind of, the perception has changed throughout.
Well, we did the basic tracks all together and then Dizzy and Nadja went back to LA and I'm out here in Vegas. And they started working on the songs in their home studio. And I was working on parts here and the songs, the skeletons of the song started to build and kind of fester into really kind of some legit art, you know, like this is really good. I put it up against anything. So it kind of took on a life of its own and went to the next level. So all of a sudden we all stepped up and treated it like that. And it was all organic. You know, it wasn't just, we didn't decide one day we were going to take it seriously. It just happened, you know?
Yeah, I think that, I think that COVID kind of helped in a bizarre way, being that had we have all been together in the studio, we kind of probably would have been trying to like rush everyone through everything, where like we were left to our own devices and, you know, had our own time to mess around with, you know, things and probably, you know, think of things that, you know, we might not have thought of if there was a time constraint or, you know, something. So, yeah, whatever came out of all of us is, we ended up loving it. So.
Yeah, the COVID, the fact that we all got pulled off the road definitely gave us a lot more time to focus on it and make it much more than it would have been had we tried to squeeze it between shows, for sure.
Now, how about the tracks? Like you said, there's five of them out there already. How many total will there be on the album?
It's 12. Is it 12?
Yes, it is 12.
12, yes.
Now, speaking of COVID, like, did you guys have the 12 tracks already picked before COVID happened? Did you guys work on this for 2 years, or was it
changing? Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, also, too, speaking of the whole COVID situation, which me and Alex were talking about a little bit before we went live, is live shows, which I see you guys are actually considering, you know, nobody's really doing live shows, but you guys have a bunch of dates. Quiet Riot has a bunch of dates pretty booked up through the year. Did you guys kind of almost be like, you know what, like, screw it, let's book shows and let's like get back to some normalcy as much as we can?
Well, the Quiet Riot, I mean, the Hookers and Blues shows we're doing next month in Texas are all small clubs, 25% people spread out, and the Quiet Riot shows are all the same type of thing, but, you know, bigger outdoor. They're not like, you know, anti you know, COVID, yeah, anti mask shows at all. It's all being done very properly. My thing is I'd rather die on my feet than live on my knees, you know. So fuck it. If it's my time, 10 out of 10 people are going to die. So if I'm going to go, I'd rather do a play show.
There you go. Do it all.
I believe you. If you know me, I think my body can fight off a little bit of a virus. It's been through a lot. COVID should be afraid of getting me.
That should be a shirt. You should make that into a shirt. New marketing plan. There you go.
Yeah. Another idea.
That's the new Hookers and Blow t-shirt. Yep. COVID should be afraid of me, getting me. Oh, it's too funny. Can you tell us any of the other songs that are on the album? Or is it going to be a surprise?
What do you think, Naj? It's our band. We can do what we want.
I guess we kind of accidentally said one earlier.
the other Quiet Riot, the other Frankie song, yeah. There's one on there that is gonna throw people for a complete fucking loop. I mean, it's the song that I think only me and Nadja really embrace.
I think we forced the issue.
Well, no, I didn't think we forced the issue. But we're not going to tell you what song it was. We were playing a show in Texas. We were all, you know, I was at least drunk after the show. And we were discussing a certain genre of music in a certain band. And then a certain song came up. And we both freaked out and started singing it. And I don't, and then I think we just wouldn't stop, you know. We ended up taking it seriously and recording it. And it's just, I don't even know what to say. I mean, I listen to it and go, what the fuck is wrong with us? Like, you know? I want to put us in counseling.
The one song on the album that I guess means the most to me. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Well, it was a big part of my childhood because
Right.
I mean, that Naj and I are exactly the same age, so we grew up we around all the same shit. And this particular album was a big part of music. Not as far as, you know, selling 10 million copies, but it changed a lot. And the fact that we're referencing it and the original band is aware of it and has heard the track and really likes it, which is very nice. Yeah, it's cool. You're going to, even
I'm gonna say,
the people that get it are going to get it.
You're killing me. I want to know what the hell it is. I'm like, what the hell is it?
Listen, you would never in a million years guess.
You would even if we told you the album, you wouldn't be able to guess which song it is, guaranteed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I am so intrigued right now.
I'm so curious. It's really the most abstract, fucked up thing we could cover. Not fucked up, but just like,
yeah.
Why? I mean, everyone that has heard the song goes, that's really, really good. And they look at me and go, why? Like, why did you do that? Why did you take this song and give it the, you know, the Use Your Illusion treatment production wise for this song? Like, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, but it had to be done. The universe needed us to do it.
Man, it meant a lot to us. It still does.
It did.
Mm-hmm. Is it something that was in the live set before you decided to record it, or
no? We've never played it live.
Wow.
We probably never will either.
Holy shit! Interesting. Yeah. Okay. Cool. So, all right. On that note, I want to thank you guys for hanging out tonight. Tell us about it. So, no official release date now. Sometime in the spring, we're looking at.
Probably mid June. I would guess mid June at this point.
I would guess the same thing, Alex, yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
Okay. It's coming out of Golden Robot Records. You guys, like we said, you do have tour dates. You're hitting Texas. Where should we send everybody to get update on the dates? The music.
Go to either our Instagram page, which is H_NB official. You can just type in Hookers and Blow, it'll come up on Instagram, or facebook.com/HNBmerch. MERCH.
Boom, boom, boom. There
or
you
any
go.
Or like my personal page has a link to it. Just go to Alex Grossi. I'm on Facebook a million times, and you know. We're not hard to find.
No, exactly. There's a wonderful thing out there called Google that we can find you all.
Yeah, but if you Google us and Charlie Sheen comes up now. I swear to God, it went from we put it up there and it got like 30,000 or 40,000 views and it sat for a year. And then somebody somewhere must have tweeted it, some influencer tweeted it or TikToked it or whatever, and it's been getting like 100,000 views a day. And then people, which is in turn sending people to our videos. At this point, I wonder if he actually knows, well, our names are underneath him in the video, but yeah, it's by far the greatest, you know, usage of the Cameo technology, even though it's not really a Cameo. I mean, that's before Cameo really broke. We had that done. That was sort of a test run, and we own the footage. He said he was cool with it. So
there you go. Yeah. And there's no Cameo thing on there. So it's even better.
Yeah. Well, it technically wasn't one. It was more like, hey, dude, you know that thing you're doing? Okay, now just say this in your phone and text it to me. And that's what it was, you know? And the fact that he did it in 10 minutes, because the guy said, usually, I don't know, maybe give it 2 weeks. He's all over the place. 10 minutes, he turned that around. That's what I tell you. He felt it.
He felt the inspiration.
Yeah, he felt that he needed to get this out there as soon as possible. I can't think of a better Cameo to have promoting any kind of product, really. I mean, where do you go from there?
Yeah. That's the pinnacle.
Yeah, we won Cameo, you know.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, guys, thanks so much. Congrats on the album. I can't wait to hear this freaking song. Like, you know, now I gotta wait until the summer. Until this comes out, figure out what the hell it is.
If you're gonna freak, you're gonna go really, and then you're gonna hear what we did with it and go really, you know, it's not only the fact that we covered it, but the fact that we made it, it's a grandiose thing. you know, pretty. But that's the hookers that blow away. Like, we've always done everything the opposite of what we think is what we're told is the right thing to do. You know, like, we're all in real bands that are very high pressure and take up a lot of time. So when we do this, we don't want to worry about being perfectly on time and being perfectly professional, and it's a party, you know? And I think that shines through, and it's infectious with the audience, but we've always kind of done the opposite of everything, and there are no rules. So, you know, we don't really have anyone to answer to. So.
I guess that's the fun thing of this whole band is just that. It's supposed to be a party and a fun time, and there's really nobody to answer to or just go out and have fun.
It's a concept, really. I mean, we went on a bus tour a year and a half ago or 2 years ago, and I got an offer through a mutual friend for us to perform during lunch at a retirement home. Okay, I mean, during lunch with like 8 old people, really old people, eating lunch with us, with Dizzy and I playing piano and acoustic guitar, and we did it. And I mean, with a big hookers and blow tour bus out front.
There was more than 8. there was a lot of people.
There were more when we started. I think a couple passed away during that.
No. Afterwards, they went for their nap, but they were very, very appreciative.
It was actually very cool because those people are just stuck there all day long waiting to die, and you know we brought them some, you know, music. They really, really appreciated it.
Yeah.
So what songs did you do? I'm curious to know.
What songs did you do, Naj?
Well, I think one of them was Knocking on Heaven's Door.
Oh, jeez.
I swear to God, yes. Dead Flowers.
Dead Flowers.
Dust and Bones.
It was Don't Cry, right? If I remember correctly.
Yeah, we did Dust and Bones.
Yes.
We were gonna do Live and Let Die, but I didn't figure the chords out for it. you can't make this shit up. I'm serious.
You had a whole message going there.
Well, they had no idea who we were. We were just these two guys that came in during lunch, you know. And they stocked our rider. They had Jägermeister. They let us go through the cabinets and everything. It was great.
Come on, you got Jägermeister at the retirement home.
Yeah, we did.
Stories are the thing. That's a song right there. Songs are made about that.
Yeah.
The biggest bottle of Jäger I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, it was like 3 feet tall. It was like a novelty bottle of Jäger.
It's gigantic.
That's freaking amazing. I'm jealous.
Yeah. Definitely one for the books.
Well, guys, thanks again for doing this. Thanks for hanging out. Congrats on the album.
Can't
wait to hear it. It sounds amazing. And, everybody go check. People, should really hurry up and buy tickets because it's only 25%. So get out and get those tickets to see you guys.
Yep. Yeah, all the shows are advertised on our Facebook page, and ticket links are up. And, yeah, get them because they're limited to like 80 to 100 people a night.
Right. You know?
And the tickets are reasonable. We're all, you know, taking a little haircut on this thing to get out there and play. Because, you know, we also keep in mind, this is what we do. You can't, like, not play. If you're a baseball player, you can't take a year off from pitching or hitting. You got to do it to stay in shape, you know. So
we've been spending all year trying to be physically well, neglecting mentally well. So, you know, I feel like this will,
very good for us, yeah.
And, you know, just be as careful as we've been this whole time. And, pray for the best.
Yep.
Absolutely.
That's what we do.
Awesome. Well, have fun and get to Nashville. Like, you know, hopefully clubs won't shut down here in Nashville. But get to Nashville so we can hear this freaking song that you guys are going to
Absolutely, I'll let you know as soon as there's anything on the books.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right, guys. Well, thanks again, and talk to you soon.
You got it, B. Thanks so much, buddy.
Absolutely. Bye. Take care. Great meeting you, Naja.
You too. Bye.
Bye.